Get out of here. All right. Pray for the Sumners as they get to endure. We get to enjoy, though, some preaching, and I'm excited. For those of you who don't know, I'm sure pretty much everybody does, but Brother Ortez came here 22 years ago. 1990. And 22 years ago, they came with the military and came to church here. Our families, really, we knit right away. And at that time, there was just the three oldest ones. And then as God worked on his heart, he got out of the military, went off to college at Hiles Anderson, graduated there, and God's just used him tremendously over in Nepal. And this is one person that I've looked up to pretty much my whole life. And I'm so excited to hear him preach again. And it's been a couple of years since since I've heard him preach. And so I'm really excited. Brother Ortez, let's come and rip our ears off, huh? Amen, brother.
Thanks, sir. Well, I don't know about ripping ears off, but anyway, it is good to be here tonight to have the opportunity to preach. It's been a little while since I've been able to preach behind this pulpit. And I don't know if that's a good thing or not. It kind of makes me wonder if the preacher didn't like what I preached about the last time, and so he told me not to preach again. So, no, I know he wouldn't do that. I do know that the last time I preached, I got a little bit rough with everybody. When you're out of the country like I am, and you go away, and then you come back, you have a tendency to see things that the average church member doesn't see. When you're sitting here and living here and working and doing what you can for God, many times you miss things. All right? I know you're saying, not me, not me. Well, when I come in, I see things. And, of course, the last time I mentioned quite a few of those things, and preacher thought I was a little bit rough on you, so I promise tonight I will not do that. The message will not have anything to do with your inconsistencies, your faults and your failures, and all the things that you need to fix. Okay? So that's the next time I preach. All right, turn to James chapter 4 with me tonight. James chapter 4, verse number 7. Once you find it, go ahead and turn with me. Turn in your Bibles, James chapter 4, verse 7. Stand with me, and we will read God's Word. James chapter 4, and we're going to read only one verse tonight. A very familiar verse, one that most of us know. And, of course, I'm sure that once I talk tonight about the message, you'll probably be surprised at where I'm going to go tonight. So, if you will, stand and follow along as I read James chapter 4, verse number 7. Here the Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to who?
God.
God. Resist who?
Devil.
The devil. And he will flee from you. So, we are to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for tonight, for the opportunity to come. Help me now as I speak. Lord, as always, I need your help. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would guide my words, guide my thoughts, and Lord, that you would just protect me now, Lord, as I open this book, as I preach this book, and Lord, each day as I live it. Thank you for those that have come tonight. Help us to get what we need tonight. I pray that you'd help me to be what I need to be for all those that have come. Thank you for their faithfulness. And God, I pray that you'd bless them in a great way. Bless our preacher. And, of course, be with him and Miss Marcia tonight as they get honored there at Lancaster. And, Lord, it is well deserved. All that he's been through and what Miss Marcia's been through, it is a joy to see another church, another pastor honor our preacher. Bless now as only you can. We ask in Christ's precious name. Amen. Now, I'm used to wearing a mic, so you can be seated. Well, some of you want to stand, others sit, you know, whatever you want to do tonight. I'm used to having a lapel mic, so this will be a little different because I'm going to have to move some. So whenever I get ready, I promised Mrs. Talmadge that I would speak loud enough to where she could hear me. You got me back there, Miss Talmadge? Okay, good. All right. If she can't hear me, I'm not loud enough. James chapter 4, verse number 7. Most of us know this verse. We think of this verse, and we have read it many times, and we have heeded it many times. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The problem we have in our churches today is we misinterpret this verse, I believe, in many occasions. When James is talking here about resisting the devil, he's talking about those daily attacks the devil comes and attacks you. What we've done as Christians is we've taken this verse and we've not only included the daily attacks of the devil, but we also include when we do things that we shouldn't do. In other words, we want to go in and say, if I get close to the fire, as long as I resist, God will bless. As long as I don't touch it, as long as I resist it, God is going to bless and the devil's going to flee. Well, first of all, the devil didn't put you there. If we're going to resist the devil, as the Bible says, that means the devil is the one that's there pushing you. Boy, y'all awake out there? Y'all may not want to hear this. Now, if we can get this, if we as churches and Christians all across our world can get this thing, I promise you it will cure a lot of problems in our church. It won't cure all the problems, but it will cure a lot of them. Tonight, I'm not here to preach on resisting the devil. The problem we're having today is we preach too much about resisting and not enough about avoiding. I want to preach tonight on avoid instead of resist. Avoid instead of resist. You are to resist the devil. But I promise you, if you will concentrate more on avoiding the devil and avoiding the temptation, avoiding the sin, you will have a lot better life. Are you all with me tonight? Oh, and before I forget, I have to announce this before I forget. On Saturday mornings, I was going to announce it. Saturday mornings at 9:30, my wife and I are teaching a class. I'll start teaching this Saturday. But we teach a little bit on soul winning, and then she's teaching on Christian womanhood. I'm teaching on Christian manhood. All right? So if we got men here tonight, look, I've been married for 30 years. I don't know everything, but I know a few things. And if you're having problems, I promise you, if you'll come, I might be able to give you a few things that can help you. Right, it's my desire to see real men of God. You may not be a preacher, you may not be a missionary or a pastor, but hey, you're still a man of God. And I can share some things with you, just like my wife can share things with the ladies that can help you to be the husband you need to be, the father you need to be, the son you need to be, the worker you need to be as a Christian man. So if you'll come, I promise you'll be a blessing. Now, that's every Saturday. If you don't want to come, you don't have to come. It's not mandatory. And if you don't come, I'm not going to come teepee your house. All right? And if you're already man enough, you don't have to come. I know some of you are, yeah, I'm a man. Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, God has taught me some things, and I have found, even after 30 years of marriage, I'm still learning. I hadn't learned everything. The day I learn everything is the day I'm in heaven and everything's changed. Amen? But tonight, resisting, avoid instead of resisting. Here in James, of course, the word resist, which gives the meaning to stand against, to oppose, or withstand. Of course, James is talking about those times when we're confronted by the devil, we're confronted by sin, we're confronted by temptation that the devil puts in front of us. This is when the devil is coming after us. If the devil is not coming after us, there's no need for God to say, resist the devil. Amen? A lot of times we have to resist because it's not the devil coming after us, it's us going after the devil. We're not resisting the devil, we're resisting the flesh. Well, y'all got to wake up out there, amen? I want a preacher to let me preach again. But if y'all just die on me, I ain't never going to get back up here again. Resist, okay? So James is saying, look, when the devil comes after you, when sin's at your door, when temptation is there, the devil's trying to really get you, you resist him and he'll flee. But James says at these times, resisting brings victory. And of course, James says, if it comes, resist, and God will protect you. However, like I said, many Christians, they take this verse and they think that that gives them the license to go after sin themselves. Well, I know you're getting quiet on me. Look, there's a whole lot of times when we have to resist. It ain't because of the devil. It's because of us. All right? Amen? Amen. They believe as long as they resist, people believe as long as they resist, that God will give them the victory. However, I strongly believe that if it's you the one causing it, God's not going to be there. You're on your own. You might as well kiss your back in goodbye, because if you're leading the way, you're in trouble. I know, I've been there. You know, even as no matter how old we get, we're just like kids. It's like playing with fire. You tell your kids, don't touch the fire. It will burn. But you watch them, and they'll get as close as they can get. And they'll be like, I'm almost there. I'm not there, but I'm almost there. And you'll be like, don't do that. You're going to burn yourself. That's the way we do. I know, I mean, as Christians, we think, no, I don't do that kind of stuff. Yes, you do. You men, hey, look, we're affected by sight, amen? We're affected by what we see. And every time you get on that internet, eyes are open, amen? Every time you get on that internet and you start searching, every time something comes up and you don't move quickly, what are you doing? You're resisting, but you're not avoiding. Look, if you can't control it, Dr. Williams, I think, is the one that said amputate it. If you can't control yourself on the internet, get rid of it. Or at least put something on there that'll protect you. Look, on my computers at home, my wife, she knows, and she'll tell you, we have a program called Safe Eyes. That's why they call it Safe Eyes. Right? Now, you can turn it off. You can turn Safe Eyes off. Right? That's the only bad thing I don't like. But what I did was, is when I got to that part where you can turn it off, I went to my wife, we set the username, and I said, honey, you put the password in. I'm going to go in here for a minute. She set the password. So the only one that can disable it is her. So there's no chance for me to sneak around and get in there. I make myself accountable to her. Are you hearing me, men? Look, you don't have to resist if you learn how to avoid. I want to avoid that junk on the internet, so I make myself accountable to her. If she wants to, she can take this phone at any time and check and see what I've called, who I've called. She can go online. I can take her to our web page, and she can see what I've been doing on this phone. I don't get upset if she says, honey, can I see what you've been doing? I know some of you men, you're like, wait a minute now. I'm the man of this family. You're an idiot. You're a man, that's true, but you're an idiot man. If you get so proud that you won't let your wife check on you, then it's probably because your secret life doesn't match your public life. You're resisting, and then you're failing. Look, I'm going to have my son come up here. Sheldon, come up here, bud. I don't know how we're going to do this.
Does this thing work?
Yes.
Okay. Power. It's all this modern technology. All right, come over here, boy. All right, now I'm the devil. I actually thought about putting horns up here, you know, but no. Anyway, I'm the devil. My son here he's not the devil. Well, most of the time. Anyway, now, I come after him, and of course, when I'm coming after him to try to get him to do something, he's going to resist me. You know how to resist? Resisting is not backing away. I'm not on this part, okay? All right, you're going to push up against me, okay? I'm sin, all right? I'm the devil, I'm sin, I'm coming towards him, all right? Now, as I'm coming towards him, he's resisting me. Now, notice, all right, keep pushing. Holy cow. Wait a minute, okay. Let's see. Wait a minute now. Where's the smallest kid in here? Yeah, this is not working too good. I mean, but you see how it is. If he's pushing, I'm trying to get to him. He's pushing up against me, so he's trying to resist me. All right, so he pushes. Don't push so hard. All right. Well, push a little bit, but don't push so hard. But he's pushing me. All right? Now, if it's just briefly, that's okay. But the longer he has to resist, what's going to happen to him? The weaker he's going to become. What am I trying to say? The more you resist, the weaker you get. So the more times you put yourself in that place where you have to resist, the weaker you become. It's not a matter of resisting the devil. It's keeping yourself out of that place where you have to resist him. Because every time you put yourself there, you endanger yourself. And so the more he pushes against me, the more I push against him, eventually there's going to come a day where he's not going to push me back. I'm going to push him that way, and I'm going to destroy his life. Okay? That's why we got to stop preaching on resisting the devil and start preaching more on avoiding the devil. He doesn't need to be in this position. The devil, now understand, the devil's going to attack. You can't avoid the devil unless you're not doing anything for God. If you're a lazy, no good bum, don't worry about it. You don't have to resist him. Preacher will tell you, I'm going to tell you like it is. I don't hold anything back. Some of these people that sit there and say, oh, I never have any troubles. If I watch them long enough, I know why. Okay, you just stamp the big L on their forehead, lazy. That don't mean loser where I come from. In a Christian, that's lazy, all right? If that's the right way. Okay? But, I know that. So, the more he resists me, the weaker he becomes. Now, the more he avoids, of course, the stronger he stays. Okay? What's wrong with us as moms and dads? We're teaching our kids too much to resist and not teaching them enough to avoid. Why do we have a problem with our teenagers? Because we only teach them how to resist. If this happens to you, this is what you do. Instead, we should be saying, don't let this happen to you. Amen? Amen?
Yeah.
Look, I know I'm going to say this, and I've already said this to the teenagers, and I know they don't like it, and I don't care. If you want somebody to care, it's called preacher. Okay? I've been on the foreign field for too long. I mean, you see stuff and you just get rough. But look, moms and dads, don't give your kid a cell phone till they go to college. Hey, that's not very many amens on that one, boy. Look, I have seen it over and over again when it comes to young kids and cell phones. You can only talk about so much. And once you get past your current vocabulary and knowledge, what happens? You start getting uncomfortable. You got to say something because you're talking to that girl. You don't want to look stupid, amen? So you start saying stuff that you shouldn't say. Amen? They don't need a cell phone until they go to college. You may disagree, and that's all right. None of my kids have had cell phones until they went to college. Do they like it? Not all the time. But they appreciate it. What am I doing? I'm trying to protect them. I'm not trying to teach them how to resist. I'm trying to teach them how to avoid. I don't want my kids to spend all their life resisting. Because one of these days they're going to get overrun. I'm going to spend most of my time teaching them how to avoid. Huh? That, Mom? And look, boys and girls shouldn't touch. Don't put your boys and your girls in situations where they've got to resist each other. Amen? I got a phone call the other day. A young lady on my bus route wanted to know what I thought about touching. I said, you don't. I I said, the day you say I do is the day you touch. That's the first time you touch their hand. That's the first time your lips touch their lips. That's the first time you put your arm around them. That's when you touch. Look. I can embarrass him. He lives with me. All right. Look. Boys and girls, look. You don't need to touch. This stuff where the world tells you that they need to experience that. I know there's moms and dads. It just drives me nuts. They say, well, my kids, you know, they ought to experience a little bit of that so they know what to do when the time comes. I would rather have my daughter stand around going, what do I do? Amen. Than to get in there and say, okay, well, we do this, we do this, we do this, we do. I don't want my kids to know what to do till it's time. Amen. And when it's time, I'll let them know. Just before he goes to that altar, I'll say, okay, son, let me tell you what to expect.
Amen.
What am I doing? I'm not teaching my boy to resist. I'm teaching him to avoid. There's a lot of things our kids know today because moms and dads don't teach them to avoid. They teach them to resist. Amen? Why, y'all getting quiet on me now. Look, the more we resist, the weaker we become. The weaker we become, the less we fight. Samson had this problem. What happened to Samson? He wasn't weak physically, but he became weak mentally. And after a while, he got so weak, the battle became a joke to him. Oh, ha, ha, you know, if you do this, I'll be... you do this, I'll be... And the next thing you know, what happens? Right? Look, when you become weak, you don't fight as hard. I want my boys and my girls to fight until the day they die. Because the battle is not going to get any easier the older you get. And if you teach them to avoid, there won't come a day where they have to fight less.
Amen.
They will be just as strong the day they started as the day they finish. But the more they resist, the weaker they become. And the weaker they become, the less they fight. The battle becomes a joke to them. And they start risking things. We as Christians, that's the reason why we compromise so much. It's because we've resisted so much, we're weak, and we're not fighting anymore. Amen? Look, I'm not here to teach you to resist. I'm here to teach you to avoid. Men, you want to keep your wives? Avoid. Avoid that junk out there that wants to pollute your mind. You are affected by these stinking eyeballs, just like I am. I'm 48 years old. But I'll tell you one thing. I hate it when I have to come to church and protect my eyes. That just flat stinks. To come to church and have to put my blinders on.
Amen.
You say, oh, you're too old to get interested in that kind of stuff. Buddy, I'm alive and kicking. I'm 48, but I ain't dead. Everything still works. I can't get any plainer than that. It's all going to work until the day I die. Now, I may not move as fast. Amen? But it still works. I'm still affected by what I see. And you men, boy, you've got to get a hold of this. This is killing our men in our churches today. This stinking pornography, it's wiping us dry. Look, we don't have real men if you can't control that. You don't call yourself a man if you can't control that. You look in the mirror and say, I'm nothing but a wuss. I'm nothing but a pansy. Are we allowed to use those words here? Okay, just checking. Look, as far as I'm concerned, and look, if you do that stuff, I'm going to love you no matter what. And the only reason I say that stuff It's because I don't want you to make the mistakes that I've seen more than one man make. I don't want you to lose your wife. I don't want you to lose your children. I don't want you to lose anything. Look, guys, if you can't control it, there's a whole lot more than just what's around you to lose. It's not just your wife and kids. There's a whole lot more that goes with it. Look, protect your eyes. And ladies, you're affected by touch. Amen? No hugging in the church. You ladies, look, if you got a husband, don't be hugging other husbands. Amen? And you men, don't hug other wives. Look, I don't want any woman hugging me but her. Or my daughters. Now, I don't mind my daughters doing it. Now, there's only one other woman in this church I let hug me. And that's only because she's 50 years older than I am. No, I'm just kidding. Now, the older ladies, I'll give a little bit of a hug, but that's it. I ain't going to hug anybody, no younger women. Look, men, you do that. Those women are affected by that touch. You're sending the wrong signals, buddy. And women, if you let them do it, there's a problem. If you don't stick your arm out there and say, "Whoa, pal," you're going to be in trouble. Look, some other guy comes up and wants to hug you. Either stick your arm up or go for a three-pointer. If he wants to get that close to you, drop kick, baby. That's avoiding. Not resisting, because I guarantee you one thing, one time is all it's going to take. Now, that ain't going to help his wife any. Actually, it will help his wife. Look, we got, down south, in south, everybody's friendly. You get in those Texas churches, boy, everybody wants to hug everybody, and it's killing our Christians. That's why men leave their wives, that's why wives leave their husbands. Too much touching going on. Ladies are affected by that stuff, man. Amen? Somebody wants to comfort you. I know sometimes we go through heartaches and we go through hurts. And I understand that as a lady that you're an emotional being. And you are affected by your emotions. But let me tell you, no matter how much heartache you're going through, don't let some other man touch you. You tell him how much you appreciate it, but you keep him away. Well, it's quiet. Look, the weaker we become, the less we fight. The more we resist, the weaker we become. And if we get weak, we fight less. If we fight less, we fall quicker. It all starts with resisting. Most people who are out of church today, most lives that are destroyed, most marriages that are destroyed are because they resisted instead of avoiding. And somewhere along the way, they got destroyed. Look, if you don't take the battle seriously, you're going to fall awful quick. You get out there in the military like these men do. You got Brother Salcedo, Brother Eric and them. Look, I see, Brother Salcedo, have you been overseas yet? Where'd you go? Qatar. Brother Eric? Not yet. You'll get there. Hopefully not. No, we want to keep you here. Brother Beer, I almost hate to say that because that first part. Brother Bierman, Africa? Huh? Now, and Brother Crabtree, that's right. No, I'm sorry. You've been over to... Okay, so you know what it means to suit up in full gear. Now, what happens if you're out there and you got a bunch of guys that are not serious about the battle? What happens if you're surrounded by a bunch of men that walk around and say, "Oh, look at that thing. That's kind of fun. Hey, did you see that sucker blow? Woohoo, man, let's do it again. Fireworks, baby." You're not going to be too excited, are you? You're not going to be so excited to get that Humvee and travel down that road. not knowing that the guys around you are going to be there and they're going to look out for you. Amen? I don't want to be around people that don't take the battle seriously. If you don't take the battle seriously, you're not protecting me. But when you don't learn how to avoid and you spend all your life resisting, then one of these days you're going to be the ones that's going to get blown up. And when that happens, I don't want to be there. Because if you get blown up, there's a good chance I might get blown up with you. That's the thing, man and ladies. Look, when you get to that place and you fall and you crash and you blow, usually there's going to be somebody around that's going to take the damage with you. You're not the only one that takes the damage when you fall. Amen? Why, y'all? Look, James said resist. I'm not saying resist. I'm saying avoid. Don't even let it get close to you. I mean, that word avoid, that it means to shun. All right? It means to shun. And it means to keep at a distance from or to escape. Well, I like that definition. Because when you avoid, you are escaping destruction. Moms and dads, teach your kids how to avoid. Teach them how to walk away. Teach them how to keep their distance and not get close. Amen? Boy, I tell you. My son here, there's been many times where he has not avoided. And he's paid the cost. But you know what? There's been many times I haven't avoided. Look, I get tired of getting beat. Don't you guys get tired of getting beat by the devil? Well, then how come you ain't smart enough to avoid? You think as many times as he beats you up that you'd learn how to avoid instead of resist. Look over at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 15. Okay, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 15. I like what Solomon says here. Look what he says. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 15 says, "Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away." That's what our churches need today. I'm not saying we shouldn't teach against resisting, but I think it's about time as Christians in our country we start teaching more on avoiding. Solomon, you got to think about Solomon. Everything that he went through. And now he's saying avoid it. Pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Solomon say, look, guys, I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. I've done that. Let me teach you how you can secure your life. Let me teach you how you can survive. Let me teach you how you can do something for God. Avoid. Hey, he had, 1,100 wives? Or 700 wives, 400 concubines? They all count the same to me. It's hard enough to handle one. How in the world can a man have 1,100 of them? That means he'd only get to see each one about once every 2 years. Or 3 years, something like that. I'll see you in a couple years, honey. Boy, tell me how they're dead tonight. Solomon went through the fire. Solomon paid for it. He had a son that turned against God, split the kingdom. Because along the way, he forgot to teach his son how to avoid and only taught him how to resist. Look, when we resist instead of avoiding, one of the things that we find out is that many times when people watch us resist, they think we've committed the sin. I don't want anybody to ever think that I'm doing something wrong. So if I avoid it, I don't give them a chance to talk and think about whether I did it or not. Look, when Joseph resisted that woman, Potiphar's wife, according to Potiphar's husband, he did it. Amen? He didn't do anything, but he resisted instead of avoiding. If he would have just avoided the situation, there wouldn't have been no doubt as to whether he did it or not. And every time you resist and others see you, there's always going to be that question in their mind, did you do it or not? But when they see you avoid it, there's never a question. Ooh! That'll revolutionize your life, amen? Look, man, you guys go out to the field. You go out there and you get out in the field and you got computers and you got internet. Just because the rest of those men around you are idiots and don't mind doing that kind of stuff, doesn't mean you ought to do it. Amen? They don't know what you're doing on that internet. And knowing their wicked thinking, they probably think you're doing the same thing that they're doing. So the best thing to do is just avoid it. Amen? Ladies? Look. We got enough gossip going on. Amen? We got women. You spend too much time talking. Too much time talking, less time thinking. I'm not against the ladies. Don't give me any. Somebody's going to walk away here and say, Brother James is a male chauvinist nuthead and he's preaching against the women. Look, thank God for that woman right there. I mean, I don't know where I'd be without her. I can guarantee you one thing, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be avoiding as much. I'd be only resisting. She helps me to avoid. I avoid a lot because of every time I look at her face and think, I don't ever want to lose her. Men, you think about what you would lose, you'll avoid a whole lot more than you'll resist.
Yep.
Ladies, same way. You think about what you would lose, you'll avoid a lot more than you resist. Look, you get around together with other ladies and they want to start talking about people, either shut them up or walk away. We got enough backbiting and gossip in the church. Get away from it. Run. Put on your running shoes and get out of there. Just tell them, look, I ain't talking about that. If you want to discuss it with yourself, you go on in the bathroom and have a good old time. But I don't want to hear it. It may be true, but it don't matter. Men are not the ones that gossip usually. Don't start doing that all stuff to me. Now, we do talk. Let me tell you, we do talk. But I can guarantee you one thing. In all the churches that I've seen and been in, and all the lives that I've seen destroyed because of gossip, the men weren't in the lead. It was the women. Because most of them run out there in the workforce working 40 hours a week. Now, women work today, I understand that. But a lot of ladies stay home. And when you don't have when you have a lot of extra time on your hands, it's easy to do a lot of talking.
Right.
Look, if you got a lot of extra time on your hands and you've got that urge to talk about other people, then you might want to start picking up a nice good book that'll keep your mind straight. Pick up the Bible especially. Turn that TV off. Stop watching those soap operas and all that other garbage on the TV. Look, I hate commercials today. I mean, every time you watch a commercial, it's like, boys, close your eyes. My wife's like, honey, and we're all doing this. I mean, I can't even read the Sunday paper. Look, men, back to men again. You ladies love this, don't you? Look, I don't care if you're shopping. My advice to you when it comes to the Sunday paper is don't read it. Don't look at the ads. If you want to read the articles, that's fine. Take the ads, throw them in the trash. If you want to look and find and figure out what you can buy, go to the store. Or let your wife look at the ad and tell you. Because it's hard nowadays to look at any ad in the Sunday paper without seeing a bunch of naked women in it. Oh, I'm looking for tools. I'm going to buy me a new drill. Only problem is you got to go through the filth to get to the drill. Because most of us, most men, ain't smart enough to turn pages by bulk. We do one at a time. Look, I'm a man. Trust me. We most of us ain't smart enough to just flip to the tool section. We got to go through every stinking page. So if you have that problem, say, honey, can you tell me if there's any specials on today? Just hand her the ads and say, just tell me what they are and show me the picture. If you can't control what you see, let her take care of it. Magazines, stuff like that that you pick up. Look, people, I mean, you get motorcycle magazines. I'm an avid motorcycle rider. I love motorcycles. But, man, I can't even read motorcycle magazines nowadays. Every few pages, you got some woman in skimpy clothing advertising some bike. I got excited about that bike, not because of that woman. I like the bike, but it's hard not to look at the woman. Amen? We really have to, you know, we got to watch ourselves. There's so much junk out there. Son, you can sit down. I'm sorry. You better sit down. That's good. He's fixing to turn 13. He can handle it. Little strong booger. Man, I tell you, I got to start lifting weights or something. Man. Look. When you resist, you give somebody else the opportunity to wonder whether you did it or not. But when you avoid it, there's no question in their mind. Not only that, if we do not avoid sin but only resist, then it's only natural that you're going to commit it. If all you do is spend your life resisting the sin and the temptation, it is only a matter of time before you're going to do it. You can't keep resisting and win. Because like I said, most of your resisting is self-inflicted, not devil-inflicted. If you'd be honest with yourself, you would admit that. Most of the time you have to resist, it's because of you and not because of the devil. But we like to blame him for everything. The devil did that. No. You are stupid enough to put yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time. You knew what would happen if you went there. You knew what you would see. It's not the devil doing it to you. It's you doing it to yourself. Amen? Look, if we're going to have a church that wins people to Christ, lives are changed, marriages are built, we're only going to get there if we learn how to avoid and stop spending our time trying to resist. Avoid instead of resist. That's the cry that our country needs. That's the cry that our churches need. Avoid instead of resist. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. We're going to ask Miss Nancy to come play the piano. We're going to have a time of invitation. I don't know how your life is tonight. I don't know where you are in your Christian walk. I don't know what problems that you have. I haven't asked God about it. And I know even if I ask Him, He wouldn't tell me. But I wonder tonight, Christian, how is your life? Do you spend most of your time resisting? Or do you spend most of your time avoiding? Do you find the battle getting harder? The battle only gets harder because you're resisting and not avoiding. If so, maybe it's time that you learned how to avoid instead of resist. Maybe it's time that you made a decision tonight to be an avoider and not a resister. So tonight, everyone standing to their feet as Miss Nancy plays. The invitation is open. The altar's open tonight. If God's spoken to your heart, you come. You come to this altar and you do business with God. But if you do business with God tonight, make sure whatever decision you make at that altar, you get up and you live it. Don't just come to fill a spot at the altar. You come because you want to make a difference in your life. You want to change. You want to do what's right. You want to be what God wants you to be. Christian, tonight, the altar's open. You come.